Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
I trust you to confirm your word. I trust you to demonstrate your word. I trust you to release the power of your word upon each one of us in Jesus' name, causing demonstrations from heaven to take place. I thank you for all that will be said and done for your glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people say amen. Amen. Come on, open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We've been in a teaching series that I've entitled The Power of the Cross. The Power of the Cross. Now, I want you to understand something, everyone. I want you to understand something. I am a prophetic teacher, meaning that in my teaching, revelation is released, prophetic utterance are released. Sometimes you'll catch something from the Spirit of God. But here's the main thing about it that I want you to understand. The reason why, somebody will ask, why do you stay with a certain passage of Scripture when you're teaching a series? Because God wants us to stay with it so that we can expose ourselves to the Holy Spirit long enough and stay with the passage of Scripture long enough so that he can release something in us, release something upon us, and cause something to happen through us. I'll never forget, I was preaching a revival in Texas, in my hometown, Corpus Christi, Texas, many years ago. And the drummer, who they had a drummer, and like I do with any series, and even I did in my revival meetings before I was pastoring, I was just an itinerant evangelist. I was accepting invitations everywhere. And I would either do 7-day meetings, 5-day meetings, sometimes 14-day meetings, or 21-day meetings. And so this was a 7-day meeting. Excuse me, it was a 5-day meeting. Well, the drummer started out the first night, got blessed. Second night, third night, I'm still using the same passage of Scripture to start off each night. Now, he shared a testimony the last night of what he thought through the week. Here's where his thoughts were. Why is this preacher with the same passage of Scripture? He doesn't know anything else? What is he doing? Why did our pastor bring him in? He's on the drums thinking this way, talking to himself this way while I'm preaching. Now, here's something that I didn't know and no one else in the church knew. He had injured his knee, tore his ACL. And what had happened, he was doing his best to try to play the drums. Nobody knew he had bandaged under his pants leg. So I'm preaching, staying with the message that God gave me for that church that week. First night, second night, third night, fourth night, and then finally the fifth night. On the fifth night, even though he felt like this all week, he kept coming out of respect for his pastor. He kept coming. And the fifth night, over to my left on the drums, I'm still preaching the same from the same passage of Scripture. And when I get through reading it, God hits this brother. And the presence of God comes upon him, and God miraculously heals his knee on the spot, and the brother starts screaming. He starts rejoicing. Nobody knows why he's crying. I didn't lay hands on him. I didn't even pray for him. God did it. Amen. And then afterwards he comes, because every time I would have an altar call afterwards, I would hold a mic and have a testimony for somebody who the presence of the Lord have come upon. And he came crying, sobbing, asking me to forgive him for his thoughts throughout the whole week. Because he was saying, this preacher don't know nothing. He's staying with the same Scripture. And he shared with them what God did for him. You know what happened? Man, God humbled that brother, humbled him, knocked that pride out of him, and healed him at the same time. And that brother repented to me, repented to God, repented to his pastor, but he received his healing. Can we give God praise for that? Glory to God. So the reason why God has assigned me in my ministry to teach like I do and to stay with a passage is because he wants to bring his children to a place of attention so he can get something to them. The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. It says, attend to my word. Well, a lot of times we don't even know what that means, even though it's the root word of attention. We think we're giving God attention, but God wants you to learn how to slow down, allow him to minister to you, and you not get in a hurry of what you think he's saying. But I'm going to receive. Now, we've been talking about the power of the cross. And I understand and know that there is the power of the cross, the power of the resurrection, and the power of his ascension. All three are important. We're glad that he got off the cross. Amen. We're glad that he got out. He's not in the tomb. Amen. We're glad that he ascended and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I. Amen. The power of the cross, the power of his resurrection, and the power of his ascension are all three important. We're looking at one aspect, which is the power of the cross, so that we can tap into a place of identity that we may have never operated in before. So let's start reading at verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. And it says this, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So now if the preaching of the cross to those who are saved is the power of God, then the thing that we have to capture, my sisters and brothers online, what we have to capture is that this power is available at all times. Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Verse 25, last verse. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So we've been looking at this teaching, and as we've been studying this, we've been drawing and building ourselves to have a fresh appreciation of the cross. One of the things that I have mentioned in this teaching already is that there is a perception of the cross that we must catch. Number one, if you should have this in your notes, but you can follow me. Number one, we have to catch the perception of knowing the value of the cross. Yes, he died for my sins, but more took place on the cross in our behalf, and God wants us to access it. Number two, we have to catch the perception of knowing the victory of the cross. Praise the Lord. And then number three, we have to catch the perception of knowing the virtue of the cross. That's where the courageousness comes from. Now, a lot of people, when they see me, they don't know where I came from. So Rose, they don't understand that when I was younger, I was an introvert, very shy, very timid. I even stuttered. My third year in university, my speech professor said, "Boy, don't you ever stand up in front of people and talk, because you can't talk." And so God had to bring me to a place of deliverance to deliver me from all of that that I've heard all those years. That was a stronghold in my life. I had to learn how to receive what Jesus did for me on the cross that set me free, what he did for me in the resurrection that caused me to live a freedom life, a new life, what he did for me in the ascension that caused me to live a royal life. Are you with me so far? So I had to learn something, and that's why I've shared with you all that the cross speaks of relationship. It speaks of restoration. It speaks of redemption. It speaks of reconciliation. And the cross speaks of reigning. Now, I want us to look at something tonight. Glory to God. I want us to see what is the power, what the power of the cross got for us. Flip over to 1 John chapter 4 now. 1 John chapter 4. And I want you to see this. One of the things God has used to bring me to a place of confidence and assurance is, he says, "Mark, you have to see the cross as a place where all your flaws were nailed, all your faults, all your failures were nailed to the cross. That when I respond to you and I deal with you in life and relate to you, I'm not relating to flawed Mark. I'm not relating to flawed Kathleen. I'm not relating to weak Kathleen or weak Lily or weak Bethel." No, he had nailed all of our weaknesses, all of our flaws, failures. He nailed that to the cross so that now when he relates to you and I, he relates to us from the place and position of redemption. Everyone say, "Thank God I am redeemed." So what does the word redeem mean? It means to be purchased for. It means to be bought back. So he paid up for us with his blood. He bought us back. So now he doesn't want us to undervalue what took place for us. That was the thing. I went to church. I got saved early, backslid, right before we got married, gave my life back to the Lord. But I wasn't living a strong, committed life, all because I got used to or familiar with religion. I didn't have a relationship. So the thing that I want you to understand is that if you're going to receive the revelation of the power of the cross, you have to stop identifying with your weaknesses. Stop identifying with your flaws, your failures, your foul-ups and fumbles. Because God is not relating to flawed you. He's relating to redeemed you. Amen. Amen. And that was hard for me. Because people in my sphere of influence was talking negative to me. And I did not know how to believe God as a redeemed person. So you had 1 John chapter 4, right?
Yes.
1 John chapter 4. Let's look at verse 9 and 10. One of the things the power of the cross got for us, we have to understand that the cross was a demonstration of love. We've already talked about that in this series. It was a demonstration of love that God demonstrated for us. Look at verse 9 and 10. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." Everyone say, "God wants me to live, through Jesus." Everyone say, "God wants me to live through Jesus." Man, what does that mean? That means that Jesus redeemed me. Jesus saved me. Jesus bought me. So I'm supposed to live through him and not live through the lens of my flaws, faults, failures, fumbles and foul-ups. No, I'm going to live through him. So that's why you have to renew your mind and stop thinking the worst about yourself, because God doesn't think that way about you. Amen. Amen. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through it, through him. Look at verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. So listen, everyone, one of the things we have to get out of this habit of thinking that our love for God determines everything. No, his love for us determines everything. Now, if we're not careful, religion has taught us, if you're not good, God is not going to answer you. If you're not good, God is not going to move for you. If you're not good, God's going to punish you. And you're not thinking about, he loves me. It's not based upon me loving him, because he sent Jesus before I loved him. Jesus died for me before I loved him. Jesus rose again before I loved him. If Jesus did all of that before I loved him, how much more will he do for me now that I love him? So one of the things that the power of the cross does, it raises your value of how you see yourself. And I want to encourage you all tonight to stop trying to live by the acceptance of other people, the approval of other people, and understand that you already have God's approval. Amen. He told me this. He said, Mark, when you see that cross and Jesus is no longer on that cross, you have to see it from this perspective. He did that for you, son. And if he did that for you, how much more will he do for you now? Amen. All right. Go with me to Galatians now. Galatians chapter 1. So one of the things the power of the cross got for us a manifestation of the love of God to empower us to live a life through Jesus. Watch this. That never loses. Glory to God. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. We're looking at what the power of the cross got for us. All right. Galatians chapter 1. Let's start at verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And look at verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God in our Father. Jesus gave himself for our sins, and by so doing, he also delivered us from this present world. Everybody, just say this, whether you feel like it or not, just say it by faith. Say, I am delivered.
I am delivered.
Now, here's the thing about it. When Bethel started having me to say I'm delivered, he started telling me things that for me to declare I am delivered from. I was declaring it, but I didn't feel it. It wasn't real to me yet, even though God's truth is the highest form of reality. But he told me, Mark, I want you to keep saying it. Keep saying it. So I started saying, I am delivered from timidity. I am delivered from fear. I am delivered from, I was asthmatic. I'm delivered from asthma. I am delivered. I was saying it, even though I wasn't feeling it, but it was still his reality. Amen. And it was his reality for me, because of the power of the cross. So the power of the cross, what I want you to understand is it brings to us kingdom realities that will override, overwhelm, and overshadow anything that seems real to us. So you have to understand how God sees you. He sees you as redeemed because of that cross. He doesn't see you flawed. Now you're going to have to renew your mind and you have to stop seeing yourself flawed. God doesn't see you as a failure. Failures are not God-made. They're man-made. So you got to stop seeing yourself as a failure, regardless of what has happened to you in life. The outcome of a situation does not identify who you are. The outcome of a situation is simply that. It's the outcome of that situation. It doesn't define who I am. Say amen.
Amen.
If you're being attacked in your body, that does not define who you are. I am not the sick trying to get healed. I am the healed resisting sickness in my body. You see the difference? Why? Because of the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Amen. So again, look at verse 4, Galatians 1. Who gave himself for our sins. Everyone say, he did it for me. That he might deliver us from this present evil world. Let me just say this. So I don't know about you all. I believe the Bible.
Amen.
No, I really do. I believe the Bible. That's why I don't fear. I don't fear conspiracy theories. I don't fear what the government may do. I don't fear what people who may try to do things behind my back, because I really do. I believe the Bible that he delivered me from this present evil world. I like how the Bible said present. So every day I live, that means in this now moment, God says, Mark, you're protected and delivered. Flip over to Colossians chapter 1. Let me show you something. I'm showing you, what am I showing you? What the things the power of the cross got for us. Now you got to live this way. Now it says that he has delivered us from this present evil world. Everyone say, I am delivered.
I am delivered.
From this present,
evil world.
Now you got to say that until you believe it. It has to become real to you, right? It's right now, it's more real to me, maybe, than it is to you. But you got to say it. Now you got to understand, I came from a fear-based place. But I've been doing this and saying this a while. So this is not psychology. This is not psychological manipulation. No, this is living by God's reality, which is a kingdom reality, rather than living by what everybody says is real in the world. After I heard the preacher today share what he shared, and it was not a dry eye in this prayer room. I think it was about maybe 15 pastors, and we sense God in the room. And then when I left out, because I couldn't stay no more, I had to leave. It was time for me and God to talk. I got in the car and I started repenting. I said, Lord, I repent. And I ask you to forgive me for every time I allowed myself to be governed by the natural realm instead of by the kingdom realm. Every time I call myself praying to you because I was bothered by what happened in the natural realm and I didn't have peace because of living in the kingdom realm. I repent for trying to seek answers. For trying to, watch this, for trying to seek validity in the natural realm instead of understanding that you've already made me valid. You've already qualified me. You've already made me worthy. You've already made me good enough. I said, forgive me for all the times. Now, here's the thing about it. I've been teaching and preaching for a long time. I know better, and it still happens. It still happens. Now, I want you to hear me. You're going to have to determine if you want God to take you to another level in operating in the power of the cross to where you will no longer allow your life to be governed by what happens in the natural realm. That you'll allow him to, watch this, elevate you above what comes at you. You know, what's a highway here, an expressway here that gets traffic jammed a lot?
401.
The 401? Somebody said Kiwi W.
I don't know.
Okay. The 401? Okay. All right. Now, let's say Bethel and Kathleen are in a car together.
That's normal.
And they're sitting there stuck in traffic. Now, in your natural mind, you think the solution is
to
try to get at the nearest exit. But what if, now think with me, God did this for them, dropped down. Now, this is hypothetical. This is not real, y'all. We're just following this so you can see the example. God, in his omnipotent power, come down, have someone with a helicopter, lifts them up out of the car, into the helicopter, and now they are raised above the traffic. They're no longer stuck, but traffic is still there. Mm-hmm. That's how he wants to elevate you above what comes at you.
Ooh, cool.
So what affects everybody else, you rise above. Mm-hmm. Traffic is still there, but now they have been lifted above, so they're no longer stuck by traffic. That's the power of the elevation that the power of the cross brings. It changes your awareness and your perspective so that now you can hear on a different level. You can process information on a different level instead of processing it on the level everybody else who's affected by it, they're thinking the same thing. I got to get off at the nearest exit. So now you got a traffic jam at the nearest exit.
That's right.
But God comes. So I want you to see that imagery of you being lifted by the helicopter above the traffic, and now you're no longer stuck. So now what would your life look like no longer being stuck by things that used to hinder you in the past? What does that look like? What does that feel like? So look at this. Look at this. Let's go to Galatians. Oh, no, I told you Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Okay, Colossians 1. Now, Galatians 1 and 4 says, he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God. Now, look at Colossians 1, let's start at verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us, the King James Bible says, meet. Another translation says, fit. In other words, he's saying God has qualified you already. Everyone say, I'm qualified.
I'm qualified.
Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet or qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Look at verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, Galatians 1:4 says, I'm delivered from the evil of this present world. Colossians 1:13 says, I've been delivered from the power of darkness. Now, wait, watch this. So just like I told that person I was ministering to on the phone when I got here, when I was driving here, Just because you see darkness around you does not mean it has authority over you.
Amen.
Everyone say, I'm delivered,
I'm delivered
from the power of darkness. So when circumstances look dark, when your life looks like everything is not working, you have to understand you have been delivered from the power of darkness. And you got to keep reminding yourself and saying it to yourself so that you don't go into, watch this, automatic mode of acting down, looking down, talking defeated, acting defeated because of what you see around you in your life. No, I'm delivered from the power of darkness. Another translation says, I'm delivered from the authority of darkness. So I want y'all to understand. Get in the habit to where you're no longer affected by an attack of the adversary that you got to talk about it. Talk about your authority over the attack. Speak the victory. Speak what the power of the cross has brought you. Amen.
Amen.
Let's read it one more time. Verse 12 again. Giving thanks unto the Father. So take this moment right now and say, Father, I thank you.
For making me a partaker
and delivering me
from the power of darkness.
So that's what it says. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or fit or qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Mm-hmm. So I am a partaker. I can take a part in what God has made available to me because of Jesus' sacrifice and substitution on the cross. Verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. I really want y'all to get this. You are delivered from the power of darkness. Years ago, I heard this preacher preach, Lily, he said this. First, he got my attention because he said, I haven't had a headache in 10 years. I said, what? What? I had one yesterday. What are you talking about? And he was talking, I haven't had a headache in 10 years. Then he said this, maybe I got it wrong. Maybe it was 20 years. Because then he said this, I haven't had a down day in 20 years. I said, what? You can live like that? And this was years ago. I don't even think I was pastoring yet. And so it got my attention. You mean you can live like that? He said, I haven't had a headache in 20 years. I haven't had a down day in 20 years. I said, oh, my goodness. I didn't hear nothing else he said the rest of the night because he got my attention with that statement. Now, he started pointing out some things, and I knew I wasn't living that way because I was living being affected by everything, feeling the pressure from everything, and all of that was causing me to have headaches. All of that was causing me to worry. I used to call myself a champion worrier. Now, I don't worry about a thing, and it's been a long time. And now you want to know something? When I try to think about it, I do not remember the last time I had a down day. Because I started believing this after hearing that he said, he has delivered me from the power of darkness. So I don't have to give in to dark days. I don't have to give in to dark moments in life. And they come to us all, don't they? Yes. I don't have to give in to it. So what I'm trying to show you is that one of the things the power of the cross got for us, it got you a deliverance from the evil of this present world and the power of darkness you don't have to submit to. Every time some people come to me for counseling, Lily, it really gets funny because one of the things they say is, well, you just don't understand because I guess nothing ever happens to you. I said, a lot of things happen to me. I just don't respond like you do. But they always think that because of how I act, you know, how I am, and people see me in all kinds of stages, I'm the same all the time. And they say, well, nothing ever happens to you, so you don't know what I'm talking about. I said, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's just that I believe the scriptures. And I want to encourage you all tonight. Right now, I'm sensing in my heart that God wants you to move past being subject to darkness. Dark moments. Down days. Feeling deflated and defeated. No. Your life is secure in Christ. And that's not just for Sundays at church. That's for every day. Glory to God. Come on, lift your hands. Let's do it. Let's lift our hands right now. Lift your hands in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Father, we submit to you tonight. And Lord, we see in your word where you've already delivered us from things that have been coming against us. Help us to live and walk out this deliverance and be free. Thank you for delivering us from the power of darkness. Thank you for delivering us from this present evil world. We don't have to become afraid of news reports. We don't have to become afraid of conspiracy theories. We don't have to become afraid of whatever the government would try to do. We don't have to become afraid because you have delivered us from this present evil world. We need your help to walk it out, to live this way, to receive confidence in it. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every form of darkness that has tried to torment and contaminate the lives of these children of God in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Just say this out your mouth. Say, Lord, I receive deliverance. I receive. I receive deliverance. I speak that. I speak that over everyone on a faith call. You are not subject to live by the effects of darkness. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now I got to go with it. See, the power of the cross, sometimes some of us will have moments where we'll get quiet and numb because of what has happened to us. I want to say to you, your numb days are over in Jesus' name. Your days where you're feeling like life is passing you by. The days where you feel like I just want to be left alone. And sometimes you can't even explain it. You just know how you feel and you don't even know why you feel that way. But I want you to know God says he doesn't want you living like that or feeling like that in the name of Jesus. He doesn't want you to be joyful in one side of the house. And by the time you get on the other side, a different mood and a different feeling has hit you. And you don't even know why. All you know is it has affected you. And now you're trying to process it. But I say in Jesus' name that the thief will no longer steal your days.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I bind the spirit of darkness that has come against the people of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at this verse, our last one. Galatians chapter 2. Last one. Galatians chapter 2. What the power of the cross got for us. Hallelujah. I didn't even get to my passage tonight of Romans chapter 5 to tell you about the much more lifestyle, but that's all right. I want you to see this. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. This is one scripture that I begin speaking over my life almost daily. Now, at first, I got to be honest with you. I didn't know what it meant. I just said it. I just kept saying it and kept saying it until it became alive to me. Amen. Once it became alive to me, it became real. Once it became real, watch this, it started a transformation. Once it transformed me, now how I used to be, I'm no longer. You know that even some of my relatives, when we go to, whether it's a family reunion or when I go home back to Texas, when I go home, and whether it's some old high school classmates or relatives, when they see me, they say, why are you so different? One of the main things they often say is, why you don't look your age? I say, I'm enjoying life. I'm saved. I can't take credit for it. And then there are sometimes they in church, I say, well, it's that anointing. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is people will see it. They will see the difference. You see, they're used to darkness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you've been living in darkness, they can tell there's a connection to darkness. Mm-hmm. But when you've been living in the light, yes, now you stand out. Yes. Because you're different. Things can happen, but you respond different. You think different. You process life differently. You don't get as upset as you used to because now you become solution oriented and not problem oriented. Can y'all see that?
Yes.
Look at this. Galatians 2, verse 20. Make this your confession. Now, I'm reading from the King James. And I know I got different translations in here, but you need to make this your confession. I am crucified with Christ. See, I was on that cross with him. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live how? By the faith of the Son of God, who, come on, loved me and gave himself for me. Now we're closing with this verse. I want you to see it. Look at it again. And look and compare your life. Are you living like this verse says? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now here's my question. Since the Bible says Christ lives in you, does Jesus enjoy when you're giving in to darkness?
No.
No. Does Jesus enjoy when you have down days? No.
No.
See, in some Christians' mind, this is how they live. I know I'm saved, but it's me. And God is way over there watching me. And when I pray to God who's way over there. No, God isn't way over there. God is right here. So when you get upset, agitated, irritated, is that Christ? No. So I want you to begin filtering your life through Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Everyone say, Christ lives in me.
Christ lives in me.
Watch it, Kathleen. Christ lives in me. So this is how I had to learn it. I had to learn how to make Jesus the Lord of my life by saying this, Jesus, you are the Lord of the way I feel. If how I'm feeling is not pleasing you, I submit to you. Jesus, you're the Lord of how I think. I am not going to accept nor entertain thoughts that you're not in agreement with. Jesus, you're the Lord of the way I talk. That's why I watch how I talk. Kathleen has come over to Buffalo and she sees different things. So they see me in different settings. And I always watch how I talk. I'm not just being positive minded. I have made him the Lord of how I talk. And then Jesus, you're the Lord of how I am. I govern myself to make sure this is how you want me to be. Now, I tell him, I give you the right and the permission to check me anytime I'm not acting right, talking right, thinking right, doing right, or being right. And I promise you, I'm going to repent on the spot and not make excuses for it. And that's how you do it. The power of the cross. And because of that, Christ now lives in me. Amen. Hallelujah. So, come on, lift your hands with me. And I just say right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak life to your life in Jesus' name. I speak joy to your emotional level. And I say that your joy is going to another level. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I speak peace, glory to God, to your emotional well-being as well. And I say that you will be consumed by the peace of God, and you'll have the confidence that the God of peace will bruise Satan's head in your presence. In the name of Jesus. I speak to each one of you all, those here presently in the physical building and those on the faith call. I speak to each one of you that you will begin to live better, do better, respond better, have better, enjoy life better, and process life better in the name of Jesus, because God is giving you clarity of seeing, clarity in hearing.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship, or to contact Pastor Mark, or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.